Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Hone and I'm joined this week by Tempest T Wrestler and a dog in the background. How's it going, Tempest?
It's not my dog, but I have the worst luck with wildlife and more specifically, my neighbor's pets that they just decide to let roam free at all hours of the day, all hours of the night to bark their heads off at their own convenience. Yeah.
You had a bird appear, in fact, on last night's Quizzlemania for a little bit. Excuse me.
I did. I feel like birds are just out to get me at this point. The rooster really soured me on birds.
There was a moment, because like, if you didn't see last night's Quizzlemania, fun show it was as well, by the way, but there was a moment when all of a sudden, like, it sounded like the bird was in the room with you. But all of a sudden, everyone was just like, can anyone else hear a bird? And there was this look in your eyes that was just like, man, I was hoping people weren't going to hear that.
Yep.
And then you had to be quiet and go, yeah, it's me. It's my neighbor's bird.
Yeah. I don't even know if this one is like a neighbor's bird or if this is just a shoot bird, as Brian Alvarez might call it.
Shoot bird just showing up.
Yeah, just a shoot bird. But see, the problem that I have right now is I've got a air conditioner unit in my window, which is probably not going to be there for too much longer, considering the time of year and whatnot. But the like paneling that goes along the rest of the window is like paper thin and doesn't do anything for noise cancellation. So most of the time, by the time I get through podcasts and whatever, I should be pretty good and not being interrupted. But every once in a while, there's a dog or a goddamn rooster.
That dog is barking at something as well. That's an unhappy dog right there. How did you find Quizzlemania last night?
Oh, I did terribly. I mean, it was a fun show. Everyone on there is so nice.
No trivia for Tempest.
I need to blow someone up again. Like, what do I have to do to get some trivia on this trivia wrestling show? God damn it. Do I have to run it myself? You need me to take a week off and program the entire show myself?
It was funny when I saw like that the final round was going to be Name That Jam, you know, a singing round. I was like, what we do when we like, you know, peeling back the curtain, we always go into the private chat area when we do Quizzlemania so that you're not looking at the essential answers. You're not looking at the live chat or anything. So you can't like read what other people are thinking. When I saw that we were doing Name That Jam in the end, I was like, well, I am going to quickly go and check, though, to see what the reaction to this is. And there is a portion of the Quizzlemania fan base that are just like, this is a farce. This is a joke. Where is the trivia? This is not this is a quiz show, not a game show. And I'm like, nah, the sillier the better. Like, I like the silly rounds.
I do too, but I like a mix, you know. I like a nice little sprinkling of trivia throughout my wrestling quiz show. But no, it's fine. It's fine. I do pop into the live chat when I'm doing the singing on Name That Jam, because I love Pete. Pete didn't give me a whole lot of help. I didn't do particularly great either. But when I can go into the chat and see all the people are like, oh, it's Ciampa's music. I was like, all right, I did an okay job then.
Yeah, it was a really fun show last night. It was so cool to hang out with Church of Joshi and the friendos and get Sully on board. Like, yeah, it was a really, really cool time. Go check it out over on Parts of Unknown. Had a dynamite time over there. Speaking of dynamite, in fact, why don't we get into the show itself? How's that for a segue?
What a segue. You master.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a little while. It's not my first rodeo. Yeah, we're talking about next week's stacked old show. And here it is. We have got the biggest stacked monumental mega mongous set of dynamite and Rampage next week. Holy heckins, what a lineup we have got. I am Luke Conan, and I'm joined by your Quizzlemania singles champion, Tempest T Wrestler. That bitch. How's it going, my friend, my enemy?
You had to point out singles champion, which is correct, but it feels that much more sharp and painful after the worst Quizzlemania performance of my career last night on Quizzlemania 40. Hey man, that's how it goes sometimes.
Where did you place in the end?
Somewhere between last and last.
Yeah, you know? It was not a good night for Los Intangibles to Russell Tonk. But yeah, we are here to review Dynamite this week. As you may have noticed, we are still remote, mostly because we're in different countries, but also because Ollie Davis isn't very well today, unfortunately. So Tempest is filling in for him. People may say, hey, it's probably because he went on that stag do and, you know, there's a pandemic on at the moment. I just think it's because Ollie's getting old now. So when he does have like a weekend of drinking, it just takes him days to recover. And then B, sometimes it just takes for a little while for it to kind of kick in. And the time is to hit him. We see it whenever he does a pay-per-view weekend. Like when we did SummerSlam weekend, he was a very tired and grumpy boy for the week.
Aww. That poor man that we blew up. So much sympathy.
So yeah, he is absolutely fine. He is tested negatively on all of his COVID tests as well. So it's nothing like that. He's just not very well at the moment. I think he's just a bit run down. So Tempest is filling in for him today as we get to talk about a very fun episode of Dynamite, full of like great wrestling throughout the night, some really good video packages, great, great promos, and some really cool, like interesting story beats and things like that. But I mean, it was also just a really good advert for next week's incredible week of AEW television, because they have essentially put on a pay-per-view caliber couple of nights. Like Dynamite is its regular 2 hours, but it's the Grand Slam from Arthur Stadium. They've got an incredible lineup for that, but also Rampage on the Friday is 2 hours and is almost just as stacked. So holy hell, Tempest, like it is nuts.
Before I got into that, I wanted to at least joke that Ollie is off sick, and it's almost like during the pandemic, anytime you say I'm under the weather, everyone's like, you all right? And meanwhile, I'm here filling in and I've got a very like runny nose today, so I'm just gonna be like blowing my nose throughout the show. Hopefully I remember to mute myself, but getting into the actual show, hell yeah, man, this card is stacked. Like they like to say that their special dynamites are like pay-per-view caliber, and to some extent, some of them have been, but like the beach break shows and everything, it's like, it's just a really good episode of Dynamite. You know, this is a pay-per-view quality card with a pay-per-view, like the biggest show of the year caliber main event. Yeah, Brian Danielson 100%. And Kenny Omega is on free TV next week. And I could not possibly be more excited about it.
Yeah, so we, Ollie and I had this discussion last week when they, you know, effectively told you, hey, by the way, Danielson's first match in AEW is going to be against Kenny Omega. Like, they had that segment in ring and Kenny Omega was challenging him for a match, and Omega was saying, you know what, like, it doesn't work like that. You can't just challenge the champion for a title match. So this week, Danielson was like, look, one day this will be over the title, but at the moment, it's just about proving who the better man is. And so we speculated that maybe this will be the main event of the Arthur Ashe show, because it's AEW's biggest show to date, and I think they wanted to put on something that is an incredible main event. What bigger main event could AEW possibly put on at the moment than Omega versus Danielson? And we had a few people say it won't be that. They won't go straight into the singles match. Like, it's too soon to be doing that. They'll do like a big 10-man tag or something. It'll be the Elite versus Danielson, Cage, and Jurassic Express, maybe like Frankie Kazarian probably taking the pin as he always does. But no, they are doing the match. They're doing Danielson versus Omega on Wednesday, like a week from yesterday, less than 7 days away. We're seeing a match that if you'd have told me at the start of the year would happen on free TV, I would have said you're out of your freaking mind. There's no way you're going to see this match. But yeah, Danielson Omega.
It's so cool. You know, and some people might say that this is too soon. I think that they are doing it right and just striking while the iron is hot. They have been on an incredible run lately, basically dating back to the return of fans, but really since the return of CM Punk. And every show has been mostly noteworthy and at many times great. And you are going to give possibly the biggest dream match that you have on paper on TV to bring in any new viewers that you may have gotten from this Bryan Danielson thing. You're putting him against Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
It's just so cool. It's not
the title. It's a non-title match, which I think will certainly lead people to think it's either going to be a Danielson win or a time limit draw. I still think, like with AEW, like whenever they zig, or whenever I think they're going to zig, they often zag. There's every chance that Omega wins this match, whether that's through like elite, like nefarious means or something like that. You know, the Bucks running out, Cole running out, the Goodfellas getting involved. Goodfellas, the Good Brothers getting involved. the Goodfellas, all of the
Sheamus and Drew.
The lovely boys getting involved. Like, there's every chance that there could be something along those lines. I don't know if we have got Mod Mother on the moderating duty today. If we do, Mod Mother, if you are there, could you put up a poll? I would like to see a test of who the audience thinks is going to win. Is it Danielson or is it Omega? Like, oh, actually, do the three options. Danielson, Omega, time limit draw. See what people think is going to be like the result of next week's show. I'll be very curious to see if Mod Mother is around. and also, you know, on the note of, is it too soon? I think you're kind of right there. You strike while the iron is hot. The other thing that I would say is I look at what happened when the NWO came in to WWE in 2002, which is they thought they had time. They did Hogan Rock and they were like, that's cool because we could start with Hogan Rock and then we can do Hogan versus the rest of them. And they didn't get that in the end. And we never got Hogan versus Austin because they thought we've got time. And in the end, that they didn't have time. So I would much rather them do this now than something happening down the line, which means that we don't get to do it. At least if this is only the one time that it happens, and there's like there could be multiple times that this happens. But I think you're right. Strike while the iron is hot. And this is the match that people really want to see right now. So yeah, like do this match like as soon as you possibly can, which is basically what they're doing.
Yeah. If the question was like Bryan Danielson beating Omega for the title at Arthur Ashe, then I would say, yes, that's too soon. You're hot-shotting a big, you know, title change that, you know, goes against the story that's been told of late. But that's not the case. We're just getting a really big dream match. And it's like an exhibition. It's different. It's a non-title match. So in that case, I don't think it's a problem. And I agree with everything that you just said.
That's not the only big match on the card, though. As you said, like, this is a pay-per-view quality thing. We have got the rematch of Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes, Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker for the Women's Championship, MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr., and Sting is having a match next week with FT smegging R. Oh, when FTR got in the ring with Sting on this episode of Dynamite, because I thought that they were going to do Sting and Darby versus Spears and Blanchard. Like, I thought that's what they would do at the New York show. But FTR is actually a much better, like, that's a way more appealing option to me, because I'm like, when FTR got in the ring and they stood across from Sting, I was like, this must be so freaking cool for Dax and Cash.
That was my exact thought process. As soon as they got in the ring, I just got like the biggest smile. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You right. know, so like that's cool. Pretty neat. And then they announced the match for later in the show. And again, I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, it's just one of those times where the puzzle pieces fit perfectly together. And we don't know how the match is going to go. Hopefully it goes well. But seeing Sting and FTR in a match together, who could have possibly imagined that happening 4 or 5 years ago? And now we're seeing it's just so cool.
And Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker, like, I think that's going to have a lot of intrigue going into it. I think we're going to see a Baker retention. I think it's far too soon to be taking the belt off her. It's also far too soon to be putting the belt onto Ruby. However, it is in New York, and a lot of like Ruby's presence and everything has felt very New York centric. I think she's going to get an incredible reception there. But is it going to be bigger than the power of DMD?
That's the question, really. You know, Britt Baker is so ridiculously over, and Ruby Soho has been such a fun addition to the women's division. Everything that she does feels different from everyone else. She's very dynamic in the ring. I really like that. I don't know who the people are going to back in this match. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because Baker is still the heel, but she's popular, like organically popular. Well, they haven't turned her yet. They haven't turned her baby face. I don't know if they're going to turn her baby face at any point, but she gets a lot of baby face reactions. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I do think she's going to win, because I don't see this title reign ending before she faces Thunder Rosa.
They also did a very interesting thing on the show tonight, because like they have kind of established in AEW that you win in your hometown. Like, you know, they did the whole Britsburg thing. You had Jon Moxley pick up the victory over Minoru Suzuki when they were in Cincinnati. We have seen people in their home states or hometowns or whatever get big wins and get sort of showcase things. And then on this episode, legit Layla Hirsch from New Jersey, and they did a show in New Jersey, didn't win. She got beaten. So that kind of then throws on a lot of doubt over the Ruby Soho thing next week, because all of a sudden the AEW rule of you win in your hometown has been thrown asunder. It's been cast aside in case of like, hey, maybe you don't know what's going to happen when you go see someone in their hometown.
Yeah, I think basically if it's a big star who's going to be promoted for the show, I don't know that this applies to Ruby Soho in particular because it's a big title match and everything. But as it pertains to TV, I think if you're a big star being promoted for the show in your hometown, you're probably going to get the win. It's just a matter of if you're a big enough star to warrant a win on TV, or if it's a win on Dark or something like that. Because I could have seen Layla Hirsch get a win, but they're not recording Dark in the cities anymore. It's absolutely a Universal studio. I guess that would be why. But otherwise, I would have thought that she would have gotten a win there. I don't foresee this playing into the next match as much. But in the cases of like Jon Moxley and Brian Pillman and everything, I think it's more the top level guys that are going to get the big hometown pushes.
So yeah, Rampage also next week isn't just a 1 hour Rampage. It is a 2 hour show. And this bloody hell, this card, I will say though, to be a little negative Nancy for just 1 second, a little pessimistic Patricia, they've announced like 10 or so matches and only one of them is a women's match. That's still a problem, AEW. You need to sort that crap out, lads. However, announced for this show, you've got Jericho and Hager versus the Men of the Year after a pretty great promo segment back and forth between Jericho and Dan Lambert, the homophobia stuff notwithstanding. You have got a wicked six-man tag of Jurassic Express and Christian Cage versus Super Click of the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. And CM Punk is having his second AEW match on Rampage against Powerhouse Hobbs of Team Taz. All of a sudden, like, yeah, those two matches either side, pretty big. That match there, and this, like, you've got in the sense there, CM Punk's second match, yeah, it's against Powerhouse Hobbs. But like, Rampage is starting to feel like CM Punk's show. Like, it's like that. Yeah, like, right? Like, you know, he had his debut there. He's had like all of his stuff used to be so focused on Rampage. And now he's having his second match in the company. It is a really strong lineup.
It's a strong lineup, and I think they're doing a really good job of just making Rampage feel important. There's been a couple weeks where some of the matches on there are like, yeah, they're entertaining for sure, but nothing that you need to go out of your way to see. But they've done a pretty good job of at least making sure there was one match on that card every week that you need to see. And I can't find fault in that at all. And I think it's just snowballing into this massive 2-hour show with CM Punk now. You know, people thought that, oh, after a few weeks, maybe this is just going to be like the B show and important stuff isn't really going to happen. We're still like 6 weeks in or whatever, and CM Punk's wrestling on it. That's pretty major to me.
Just correction on myself as well. I believe there are two women's matches because I think Anna Jay is having a match. I'd imagine against the Bunny. I think that was what they announced, right? Is that on Rampage or is that on Dynamite?
I think that's on Rampage. That might be on Rampage this week.
Ooh, okay. Okay, let's get some clarification in the chat because I may have missed that one. But yeah, just an insane run of two nights. Well, you know, across two nights there next week. Ratings-wise, I think they're going to do, I mean, particularly Dynamite, I think is going to do a real big number with Omega Danielson. And, you know, Malakai Black has shown to be a pretty decent ratings draw for them. Sting is wrestling. I can see next week's Dynamite. I'm not going to say beat Raw. I don't think it's going to get that far. But, like, I think it might end up being Dynamite's biggest number yet.
I mean, I'm not going to put money on them, like, beating Raw or anything. But if it happens, I'm not going to be too surprised. This should be the biggest AEW, maybe since their debut. And, you know, Raw's going against football now. They've got reasons that they should be doing worse. So unless they do a massive number with the first appearance of Big E as new champion or something, I don't know. It's not the craziest thing in the world for me to think about.
So we have now people saying that it's Anna Jay versus Penelope Ford next week. So there you go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, well, let's get into your Ultra Chat and see what you make of all of this. Stephen Guzman said, here's how I think Omega versus Danielson will go down. Match is amazing, go about 20 minutes, and it does a time limit draw. Make sure the crowd leaves happy. They have Hangman Page return and save Danielson from the beatdown. I've seen a few people make the suggestion that this could be the return of Hangman Page.
This is solid booking. You know, it's nothing like mind blowing. It doesn't need to be the huge angle moment, but it's just sound, logical booking. I'm perfectly fine with the time limit draw. I think that is genuinely the best option of the three right now. Makes me want to see it more. And I totally believe that this match is going to be like the appetizer match, where you finish it, you say, man, that was great. But you know that their next match for the title or whenever it's going to be is going to be like an hour long best match of all time candidate.
And also people are now saying it is Anna Jay versus the Bunny. So I think this says a lot about the promotion of this match. No one knows what show it's on. No one even really knows what the match is. I think AEW can certainly do better. Bacon Rasher says, Ollie doing his news video today really does show how much you love AEW, love wrestling, and I'm here for the ride. Omega versus Danielson, OMG, and wow. Can you live stream next Wednesday? So happy being a wrestling fan now, right now after years of hurt. Jam that jam. I would say, if I was not expecting a child anytime soon, and it really does feel like it's going to be in the next couple of days or so. And we were talking about this before we came on live. I'll probably end up watching Dynamite live next week. I won't be around to do the review, but I probably will be there watching it live because I'm likely just going to be awake anyway with the Bab. And I'm, you know, it'll be baby's first wrestling show. If I wasn't around, I think we would end up doing a live stream of it. But if you're relying on Ollie Davis to do a live stream or something on a Wednesday, and he's got to get up and review it the following day, he's a tired little bunny. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll try and work something out though, because I think it'd be great to do some live reactions to it. I mean, it's Danielson Omega.
It doesn't get much bigger than that.
Exactly.
Like, it really doesn't for a TV show. It doesn't get much bigger.
Lakshim Narashiman, sorry if I've said that wrong, said the good thing is they've established that Dragon versus Omega match would be non-title, so the wins and losses system is not broken. I was worried that they would end up the same way as the wild card BS. I think AEW are quite protective of the whole wins and losses matter thing, so I think that's why I said last week, I made the prediction last week that it would be a non-title match. They'll do a singles match and it'd be non-title because that's a way to get around the whole you're getting a title match on your first night in. And Trenton Brown says, a part of me feels that Danielson Omega match is too soon. But then I remember when Brian first came back when he was cleared by W Medical and his first big feud was against Big Cash. So yeah, why not strike on the dream match while that iron is hot? That's a very good point.
They were also
doing like Danielson versus Andrade and Daniel. Like it felt like Danielson versus AJ as well. They were just like throwaway matches on SmackDown. But his main feud was with Big Ass.
Big Ass. And then we got that Miz feud that a lot of people thought was going to be like amazing. And we got a bunch of 2-star matches out of it. we never got the dream matches that we should have gotten from the return of Daniel Bryan in WWE. And I'm not over it.
Tempest, what are you talking about? the dream match that we got was at WrestleMania when he was tagging with Shane McMahon against Steen and Generico, and he spent 95% of the match on the outside injured. It's just what the fans wanted to see from Absolutely. The Danielson return. And lastly for now, Deadpunk 1905 says, even after 7 years away, it's still never a guarantee that a table is going to break for CM Punk. First time anyone has been put through the announce table. Usually it's the timekeeper's table. Great show. AEW is on a hell of a roll. Jam that gem. Very good point, actually. This was like, it felt like one of the first big table. I think we have had announcer's table stuff in the past. I feel like we had it during the pandemic era. But they don't do it a lot, which I think sort of say, you know, screams to what Deadpunk is saying, though. I can't even think what the last one was.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, for sure. It's just another way of keeping things fresh.
We have closed the poll. Thank you all so much of you that voted in said poll. About half of you did looking at it. Time limit draw was the out-and-out winner. 59% of you think that it's going to go to a time limit draw. 24%, however, think it will be a Danielson win. 16% said Omega. Now, what's interesting is like that's 24, 16 and 24 aren't hugely apart in terms of like when you think, you know, like 835 people voted. So that's still fairly split on the old Danielson Omega front of which one's actually going to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This could go any way. And I'm leaning towards there being a time limit draw for sure. But I have enough faith in AEW's booking that if they go any of these three directions, they'll make it work.
Right, well, let's get through the rest of this show. CM Punk opened up the show doing his big stage dive into the crowd because he was set to provide commentary for the whole night, but old Team Taz had some things to say about that a little bit later on. But I really enjoyed Punk on commentary tonight.
Yeah, it was interesting to me because I guess I don't know what I was expecting out of it, really, because when CM Punk was on commentary for WWE, he was like a commentator. He wasn't like an active wrestler. He was doing it when he was injured and he was recovering. This time he's like, I'm an active wrestler. So a lot of what he would say about the matches in the ring, he would relate back to himself. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that, you know, just kind of like it gives him something to do on this show without having to do a promo or be in a match. And then later we got the segment, but it just kept him very relevant throughout the show while adding a lot to the matches.
And he was here to add a lot to this first match. Bloody hell, what a way to open Dynamite this week. Frankie Kazarian versus Adam Cole, baby. Bloody hell, that pop for Adam Cole was insane.
Can you imagine this guy, presumably a manager on the main roster? Ludicrous.
According to some reports, Cole himself has said that he never heard that pitch. That doesn't mean the pitch didn't happen. It's just that pitch never made it to him. But yeah, like he heard other pitches instead.
Ludicrous. This man is like one of the biggest stars in wrestling. He's got a cool catchphrase. He's a good wrestler. He's got the look, and he's having matches like this.
What I find interesting about Adam Cole, when he makes his entrance into, you know, for Dynamite here, and someone made the point as well, like this is the largest crowd we've seen Adam Cole in front of, you know, basically in that 4 year period, because although he was at Survivor Series and he did some stuff with on Raw and SmackDown, he's mostly been in NXT in front of the NXT crowd, and then, you know, unfortunately for the last year and a half or so, in front of no too little amount of fans. And here he comes out in front of this 13,000 fan arena place. And I was thinking when I was watching this, he got that reception here on AEW because he's Adam Cole. If he'd have come out on Raw or SmackDown, he would not have got this pop, because that Raw and SmackDown audience aren't the audience that are there being like, that's Adam Cole, baby. I watched him in NXT. I watched him in Ring of Honor. I watched this stuff in New Japan and the Bullet Club and this and the other. They would have seen, here is a new guy. I'm, you know, now I need to find out what this new guy is all about, because that's mostly the casual audience. And I wonder if WWE, had he gone to the main roster, could have got Cole to the position where he would have got this level of pop on Raw or SmackDown.
I don't want to say that it's impossible, because Adam Cole is great.
And so good.
I mean, I feel like it's a rib on me at this point that I say, like, oh, well, if anybody can overcome WWE booking, it's Keith Lee. It's Asuka. Nope. So I want to say that if anyone could do it, it would be Adam Cole, but I've been proven wrong before. I don't know that they would have ever been able to get him to this point, just because the audience is so different. There would have to be so much more work going into putting Adam Cole in a top position and building him up to be a top star to get this kind of reaction in WWE. Whereas in AEW, there's such an appreciation that he's here. They are so happy that he's here. He joined the party. It's like a big party every week. Everyone's having their little wrestling party in AEW, and Adam Cole is the cool kid that decided to come to the party, and everyone's so happy about it.
Love Chugs. He's just like, he's
love
like,
Chugs.
Oh, what a nice guy as well. Like, I know he's a heel. Boo hiss, super click, what a heel. Story time, boo hiss. But like, he posted up, like, they posted up that video yesterday saying, you know, the party is come to an end now. You know, the Uno game to this end, I've come to a close. And he was just there, and he had his hair down and stuff, and he was looking directly into the camera. And my first thought was, you have the kindest eyes. And like, you're still muted, mate.
I missed it. I said he really does.
So yeah, we were talking about this on Quizzlemania last night. Like, you know, Stephen Larson, when they do Twitch raids on Chugs' channel, like, he's so appreciative of them in this ending. And a lot of love for Chugs. And this wasn't like the big five-star Adam Cole 30-minute Johnny Gargano classics or anything like that, but it was still a really fun match, and Frankie Kazarian is really, really good. And there was a lot of, like, Punk had some really interesting comments to make about both of them as well, because he hasn't really had a lot of interaction with Cole previously. And, you know, he'd gone to WWE by the time that Cole was making his rise through Ring of Honor. But he has had quite a lot with Frankie. So there were some really interesting comments that he could make there for his history with both men. Kaz is so hugely underrated.
Absolutely.
Like, and he always has been, like, massively underrated by a lot of, like, the larger wrestling promotions. And I love watching him wrestle, and I loved watching him wrestle Adam Cole. Adam Cole won with his second attempt at the Panama Sunrise and hit the last shot for the win. It was a really, really good opening match.
Yeah, as far as an opening match, I don't think you're getting anything better than this on, like, a television show. If it's on a pay-per-view, yeah, you open it up with, like, an incredible match. It's a five-star, whatever. Here, they don't need to do a five-star match. You just do an excellent four-star match, and it blows people's mind because it's the first thing on the show. And yeah. I totally agree. Frankie Kazarian has been one of the most underrated guys in the world for so long. And getting to see him wrestle, like, a 15-minute opening match on national TV, that's pretty cool.
Dude hasn't aged a day either. Like, he looks exactly the same as, like, aside from the fact he doesn't have long hair anymore, he looks like the Frankie Kazarian that I fell in love with in, like, the mid-2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Just another guy that I've always had such an appreciation for, because he's almost like a prototype of the kind of wrestler that I would want to model myself after, where he doesn't do the high flying stuff. Like, he's not a high flyer, but he can do it. He's not the technical wrestler, but he can do it. He's just a perfectly well-rounded wrestler. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
We got a series of videos and interviews and stuff. First up, we had a video promo for Lucha Brothers versus Butcher and Blade, which is taking place on Rampage this coming Friday. It was taped tonight. You know, it's quite nice, actually. Like, they put up the rankings yesterday, revealed the Butcher and Blade were in the first position on that rankings. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty tidy, really. And, like, that's really smart long-term thinking, because you knew the Lucha Bros were going to win it all out. Like, I'm talking about the booking side of things here. You knew the Lucha Bros were going to win all out. So you set up for their first title contenders to be two people that they used to be in a faction with Eddie Kingston. So could have done with a bit more TV time, a bit more story going into it. But like you, there's a lot there for this video package.
Yeah, and it should be a really good match because Butcher and the Blade are a very good tag team. You know, they haven't been portrayed at the level as far as like in kayfabe and, you know, just being title contenders and people that you would think about as like next in line to be champions. They're not that, but they are this perfect mid-tier tag team and a heel tag team that we now get to see. We get to see all the heel tag teams go for the titles. So we saw all the babyface tag teams face the Young Bucks. So exciting. There's so many possibilities now.
However, the next one that we got here, which was the Fuego del Sol cuts a promo with Sammy Guevara, and he challenges Miro for another match at the TNT Championship, and he's going to put his car on the line. And I'm like, ah, yes, because when I think Fuego del Sol, I think of that car that he's always with. You know, it's just... it's very old school mentality of like, I'll put my car on the line or this and the other, but like it means diddly squat. So like, it's hard for me to get like invested about this. According to Meltzer and a few other places, I believe this is leading to Miro versus Sammy as like the next big TNT title program. And like, you know, Fuego is essentially just there to be the appetizer for the Sammy feud. But yeah, this whole like putting a car on the line is like real weird.
Yeah, it's kind of rinky dink, you know. Yeah. It's like I don't really care about that. I was super into the Fuego match that he had with Miro on the debut episode of Rampage, just because that was different and there was the contract thing and all that, and that was good stuff. I think I would have preferred to see like Fuego go a different route than come back and get squashed by Miro again. But
yeah. What you know what would make this work though is when Miro squashes him, because Miro cuts a promo later on where he said he's going to destroy Fuego and then destroy his car. I would like to see Miro destroy Fuego and pin him, and then he's going to walk out into the parking lot, stand in front of the car, holding the belt up to the sky, and then a beam of light comes down from the clouds and the car explodes. That's what I would like to see from all of this.
Well, I hope that happens for you, Luke.
Thanks, bud. The next two, was it just me or were the next two segments played out of order?
What were the next two segments?
Because we had MJF come out and he cuts this promo. So like, I'll get to my point first and then we'll kind of go back and talk about the promo itself. So MJF comes out and he cuts this promo on Pillman Jr. And then Pillman Jr. runs down and like scares MJF off, and MJF and Wardlow sort of scamper up the ramps. Then they cut to a pre-taped video interview of JR interviewing Pillman Jr. If it was me, I'd have put these the other way around. You do the Pillman Jr. interview and then MJF come out, address that interview, and then cut the promo on Pillman Sr. and then Pillman Jr. runs out to scare them off. The other way around seemed real weird.
It did feel very weird, but personally to me, I wasn't super impressed with the run-in from Brian Pillman. It felt a little bit awkward, like he took forever to try and attack MJF, and so long that Wardlow was then able to get back in the ring and thwart him. It just, I don't know, all of that felt like a step off, but the promo left me with a very good lasting thought about Brian Pillman Jr. Because I thought this promo was like just absolutely excellent. Nailed the go home line and said, you know, you're not going to face a man. You're going to face a Pillman. And that freaking means something. You know, there's weight in those words. You know,
having JR do the interview as well is such a smart move, because JR's got that connection with his dad. Like JR was there like when his dad died and things like that. And like, we've actually reviewed the show the night when the Pillman died in our WrestleTalk Extra archives on Patreon. And yeah, like it is Pillman Jr. I find fascinating because it clearly means so much to him. And he is a second generation wrestler of a guy who was never a top star somewhere. He was never the guy in any promotion, but he was everyone's favorite guy. And I think that really means a lot to Pillman Jr. And I think that he has got to like I don't know whether he has a lot of like, or feels like there's a lot of weight and responsibility on his shoulder to live up to the Pillman name, because he, like, Brian Pillman, Flying Brian, is a legend of this sport and this industry without ever being a Hogan level guy. Like, if you kind of see what I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to like find the words to make the, you know, make the, but like, I thought the promo that Pillman Jr. cut was so like indicative of that, and having JR set him up with those lines was like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, it was a killer, like, go home line to kind of get you excited for their match at Grand Slam next week.
Yeah. And I hadn't really been super excited. I was kind of into it. You know, we're getting a new face facing MJF. Like, that's cool. But this was the promo that got me invested. They did their job there. And I totally agree everything that you just said about Brian Pillman Sr., where he was, I don't know how to say it, but like one of the greatest mid-card wrestlers of all time. Because he never hit the main event level. He should have in WCW, but Jim Herd saw to that. But he was just so far ahead of his time. And I think as years have kind of gone by, you have a little bit more appreciation, at least from like the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
That we've seen the dark side of the ring, and we know about the crazy WCW contract walkout signed with WWF thing. And that's so crazy, even by today's standards, that I think people look back on Brian Pillman even more fondly these days. At least I hope they do.
Yeah. And also, not to take away from MJF's promo as well. MJF, like, hey, buries New Jersey for some great hometown heat, and then says, I'm gonna have a conversation with Brian Pillman Sr. And he looks up and then says, oh, who am I kidding? And he looks down and starts cutting the promo. The nuclear heat he got for that was nuts.
It was nuts. They weren't selling drinks in cans at this show because they were worried that fans were going to throw stuff in the ring. And we were talking about this in the website chat, where we're like, all right, who's getting the most heat on this show? You know? And when that started happening, I was like, oh, that's probably it.
That's probably
can't
it.
Can't imagine anything stopping that one.
And then backstage, Alex Marvez interviewed Jurassic Express and Christian Cage, talking about how the Elite dragged Cole out of development. And Cage had the line of that Adam Cole is used to losing Wednesday night wars, so you're going to add Friday to that list as well. I know some people don't like the whole taking shots at any other, but like, I like it. They're having fun. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's friends. Like, Christian's got dozens upon dozens upon hundreds of friends in WWE and vice versa. They're just all having a, like, a laugh about it. I think people who are getting their panties in a twist about it aren't seeing the bigger picture, that no one either side is getting their pants in a twist about, you know, whatever, what anyone is saying.
Yeah, I think that's the important part. Like, wrestling war should be fun. And this is the first real wrestling war that we've had in like 20 years. And it's fun. And I'm not going to be upset at people taking shots either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun tag team match of FTR versus Dante Martin and Matt Sydal, with FTR pitting up the victory. Not much to say about this match. Dante Martin's really, really good. FTR hit Big Rig for the win. Gives them a win as they go into the Sting and Darby match next week. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Man, they sure love Dante Martin, don't they?
Don't they?
They are going this as soon as Darius comes back. I want Top Flight to be like the top tag team in AEW. So good. And to me, this was a perfect example of, I forget what they used to call it. It was like a maintenance segment where you just kind of move things along and not, you don't need to have the big turning point in the feud or start something new. You're just having FTR go out and have a match with two guys. And it was fantastic, you know?
Yeah. They talked about the use of... Go on.
Just to quickly finish, this was one of the only points in the show where I was like, okay, it feels like we're still in like the post-pay-per-view two-week or three-week kind of lull that we usually go through after AEW pay-per-views, where the shows are still good, but they're not focusing on the next pay-per-view yet. And this was the match that kind of stood out to me as that, where it's just, it's a really, really fun tag match that's on TV, just not a ton of extra purpose given to it.
The commentators talked about the Suzuki incident, and I love that AEW have taken this internet meme and have turned it into the storyline now. That's brilliant, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really smart. And like, Archer and Suzuki cut this promo challenging Mox and Kingston to a match at Grand Slam next week. Like, holy hell, man. That's also going to be a heck of a match. I cannot wait to see that. Yeah, I love the ingenuity of turning it into an angle.
Yeah, I think it's just Tony Khan is a promoter and a booker of this generation. And he gets it. And you have a moment like this that's organic, and it's not huge, like, oh, this is the next babyface star that we have to push. We got to go with this guy because the fans are into him. This is just a little thing that you can add to your show to make it even better. It's people, something that people are into, and then you give it to them. It's what a novel concept.
I have no idea what to make of what happened next. So Malakai Black comes out to cut a promo. It's a really, really cool. Malakai Black is such an awesome presentation. I love it. And then he points to Rosario Dawson in the front of the crowd. And she's got a nightmare jacket on her, like the nightmare family thing. So he starts like cutting this promo on Rosario Dawson. Then Cody Rhodes appears from out of nowhere to attack Malakai Black. Rosario Dawson jumps. What the? Why was Rosario Dawson like getting involved? And so, I mean, I popped huge for it because I love Rosario Dawson, but Rosario Dawson was there. Like, what was this?
That's the thing, right? Because I also love Rosario Dawson, like, a lot. She's great. I felt like all of this could have been done, like, a lot smoother. It's like, okay, we need to get Rosario Dawson on the show. We need to have Malakai Black do his entrance and then cut a promo. We need Cody to come back. Let's stitch all those three together. And it was real choppy, but I love Rosario Dawson, so I'm willing to give it a bit of a break.
Do you think like the original plan was like, oh, we'll have like Brandi Rhodes be in the front row or something, and then Brandi Rhodes can jump on the back, and then we're like, no, I mean, let's not get Brandi back on TV for just a little bit. She is recovering from, you know, pregnancy and this, that, and the other. She wants to spend time with her kid. Who else can we call? Well, there is that Jedi. We'll call a Jedi instead, and she could be front row. We'll have Rosario Dawson jump on his back. And so, bear in mind as well, episode one of Dynamite, we had Jay and Silent Bob on the show. We are a Dante and a Randall away from a Clerks lineup appearing on Dynamite.
It's not impossible. Let's make it happen, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Tony, that's what I want for the next few shows now. I want Dante, I want Randall, and I want Elias. Like, just showing up. Promote Clerks 3. We then got the promo from Bunny on Anna Jay, and then Anna Jay trying to cut a promo as well, but the Dark Order infighting continues. Dark Order is not fine. And then we had Dan Lambert come out to cut some more promos on the crowd, burying indie wrestling. And surprisingly to me, Jericho and Hager came out. And it shouldn't be surprising, because Lambert set this up, whether it was last week or it was on the All Out show, when he was talking about how he doesn't want to hear people sing Fozzy songs anymore. So he set this up, but I still didn't see this coming. And Jericho looked like he was having a lot of fun cutting promos with Lambert. There was some, you know, some homophobia in this, which I don't think is great. It's really not great. It's 2021, grow up. However, his things like, I'm a fat face dip spit, like, it was... Yeah. And the crowd were really into it as well.
I think I would be shocked if Chris Jericho did not have on his bucket list, like, main event babyface run before this last turn, because he'd never had it, really. He was an upper mid card in WWE back in like the Attitude era, and then that's kind of what he was during like the 2004 era, and then again, a time and time again amongst his many returns. He never got that big run as the top babyface or a top babyface. And he looks like he's having so much fun just being the guy for AEW again. Oh, man. It's good stuff. I'm not super into Dan Lambert and all that, I'll be honest. He cuts really good promos.
Love Lambert.
I'm just... A lot of the times when I watch stuff on... AEW, I want to be excited about where things are going next. And when I watch Dan Lambert, never am I like, I can't wait for this angle to culminate. It's just like, all right, he's just going to talk for like 5 minutes and tell me why I'm a stupid mark and likes stupid wrestling. Which is like, yeah, it's a good promo. But
yeah, he talked about like, oh, you're going to watch like, you know, 26 super kicks and then Canadian Destroyers off the apron through six tables for a two, and then someone's going to kick out a two. And I was like, oh, I've seen that spot. Like, I've been to that indie show. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I marked out for that, Dan Lambert. What are you going to do about it? I think it's going to be a really fun match next week on Rampage. And then more promos. Gun Club cut a promo and correctly point out they're undefeated.
Cool. Like, I could not care less about the Gun Club.
You know,
they're right. And if this is just a way for them to get like a tag title shot or something, maybe this is how they introduce trios titles.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, because they said a lot like, oh, every combination and then the three of us together, we are all undefeated. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. That's purely speculation, but I do not care about these three guys, I'll be honest.
No, I don't think many people do. I see some members of the audience are upset because I pointed out a thing from a promo. Jade Cargill took on legit Layla Hirsch here. I have two words for my notes. Jade wins. Jade's awesome. Like, she's so cool. Looks like a megastar already. Yeah, fine match. Just, it was there to put Cargill over, and I guess it did its job in doing that.
Yep, pretty much. And it got Layla Hirsch on the show too, which she got a nice little pop. And I think she has a lot of potential, and she's very different. You know, she's very different in this women's division just because of her size. And when you put her against Jade Cargill, who's very tall, that makes for a hell of a visual.
We had a recap of Andrade versus Pac with Andrade talking about kicking Chavo out of his little act. And then we got the Team Taz segment where like Taz just walks up to Punk and just starts shouting him about like how he's now stealing his job on commentary, which I thought was a really nice line, actually. And Hook distracted Punk so that Hobbs could attack him from the back and put him not quite through the table, but certainly on and off the table. Japanese tables, these were. But yeah, cool. I thought this was really, really nice as well, because again, I didn't really see it coming. And it was a way, like putting Punk out there on commentary and advertising he was going to be there on commentary was the red herring to set this angle up, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I thought it was it's very simple pro wrestling, just done well. You know, this wasn't anything mind blowing, but everyone did their part well, and it got heat on CM Punk, who up to this point has kind of been like, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Come watch my match against Darby Allin. Now he's going to be like, no, I'm going to kick your goddamn ass, Will Hobbs. And I'm excited to see, like, you know, fired up babyface CM Punk.
Speaking of Team Taz as well, going to make a little bit of an announcement here. On tomorrow's Wrestle Talk podcast, myself and Denise Salcedo will be joined by the FTW champion, Absolute Ricky Starks. We are very, very excited to have Ricky on the show. He's going to be here for like the first 20 minutes, half an hour of it. So yeah, get in your Ultra Chat questions to Ricky. We are super excited to have him on the show because, you know, he is a name that like Punk has said his name a lot since he's come back. So I'm very, very excited to be talking to Ricky tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be so cool. I mean, Ricky Starks is not, he wasn't one of the guys who was there from like the very beginning, but I still very much consider him to be like an AEW project. And he's in that same kind of tier as like the Jungle Boys, the Darby Allins, the up and coming young guys that are going to be the main event talent. Just, I don't know, 4 years from now, 5 years from now.
Yeah, really excited to have him on the show. Up next, we had Sean Spears versus Darby Allin. Spears got a promo beforehand, which was a very good promo, actually. The thing I really wanted to mention about this match, really fun match this was, by the way, with a really, really good finish as well. The teasing of the C4 on the steps, and then Darby Allin sort of like barrel rolls through the ropes and knocks him off those steps to hit the coffin drop for the win. Really fun finish. But one of the things that I think that AEW does really, really well is, and this is going to sound like such a basic bitch comment, I appreciate that when I say it, like, when I say the words, you're going to be like, what, nadoi? But I'll get to my point in a second. They do a really good job of wins and losses. And Yeah, Nadoya, of course.
No, put that over, Luke. Put that over. We've been watching a company give absolutely no damns about wins and losses for so long. We can celebrate wins and losses mattering.
But Sean Spears and Darby Allin both came out here. Bearing in mind that Darby Allin, you know, he lost at the pay-per-view against CM Punk. And Sean Spears, I don't think I've seen win on TV since probably, like, I don't know, Fighter Fest last year or something. He's probably won like a couple of other things, but I don't remember like any really big Sean Spears wins. And yet when Sean Spears comes out, his Titantron like thing, you know, his name bar thing gives his win-loss record. His win-loss record is really, really impressive. And he's on like this 8-match winning streak. So it's like, I think the AEW do a really good job of using their other TV shows to give guys wins. So that when they come onto Dynamite, they have got these impressive win-loss records behind them, which makes these matches feel even more special. And it's such a simple thing. And I think it's something that AEW do exceptionally well. Actually, I thought about this during All Out as well, because like every single person on All Out had a really good win-loss record. And I was like, man, that's really super impressive. And then you get it again here on Dynamite. I really, really like it. For a guy like Sean Spears as well, who feels like he doesn't get a huge amount in AEW. Yeah, he came out here. He's got more wins this year than he's got losses. That's great.
Yeah, I think it just absolutely speaks to a lot of people gave AEW a lot of flack for the win-loss records and the rankings and all that. And they've not been flawless by any means, mm-hmm. but I think they have stuck with their guns about how this system works. And as long as you do that, I'm cool with it. And then they're able to use AEW Dark and Dark Elevation to make sure that all of their, I don't know, I wouldn't say main event talent, but featured talent, at least, can go out and lose matches on television like this, but still have a very strong win-loss record. It just makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, stat padding, it works for me.
Yeah.
FTR, after the match, we talked about this earlier, FTR attacked Sting and Darby Allin and gave the spot. Sting, in 2021, took a spike pile driver from FTR.
Crazy. I mean,
it's insane, right? It's insane. And I'm here for it.
What a world we live in. It's just inconceivable. And it's just so cool at the same time.
And then we had the segment with Danielson and Kenny Omega. Really, really good stuff from Danielson here, having a pop at Don Callis, calling him a carny piece of spit. Callis, like, you know, trying to turn down the match with Omega and things like that. I came here to talk to Kenny Omega. I came here to be face-to-face with the best bout machine, not surrounded by stooges. I loved Danielson in this segment. What I really liked about this, actually, was the slight little detail that Omega brought to this. Because everyone's kind of making the joke about the fact that Danielson has just been wearing a white t-shirt. Just this plain white t-shirt is basically what he is. Like, that's his merchandise in AEW, is this plain white t-shirt. So Kenny Omega also wore a plain white t-shirt this week. He just comes out with these extravagant things. No, Kenny Omega wore a plain white t-shirt this week as if to mock Danielson for doing so. I thought this segment was awesome.
I thought this was just brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, so like, brilliant. You've got the modern day Bockwinkle and Heenan in Kenny Omega and Don Callis, and then just the modern day super mega awesome babyface in Bryan Danielson. And everyone did a fantastic job here. And I personally really love the idea that Bryan Danielson is pointing out that the Elite are insecure.
Yeah.
I love that storyline detail, because if it has never been like overtly said throughout his career, but if you look at Kenny Omega's career, the entire time, his biggest characteristic has always been that he's insecure as a performer. The character is insecure. He's insecure of Kota Ibushi's success, then he joined Bullet Club, and it just on and on and on. And then you get to AEW, and he's insecure. He loses. He's left his heart in Japan, and he moves on again, and he's got to add the dancing girls with the brooms and the big entrance and the North Carolina thing. And it's just all the things that he has to add on to himself to make up for that. And I think you're now, like, you can point out little details and have it mean more to the storyline. Like, why does he have black hair now? He's insecure. He's changing his look.
Yeah.
I think it just works so well. It works so well, and it's such fine attention to detail, and I love that. Nuance and subtlety in pro wrestling, mwah, magnifique.
Matt Hardy cut a promo on Orange Cassidy, and then we got our main event of John Moxley and Eddie Kingston versus 2.0, just to give Moxley and Kingston a tag win before they have their match against Suzuki Goon on Grand Slam. And Suzuki came out at the end of this show, and I thought they were going to do the Suzuki incident twice. Like, I thought they were going to do it as a running gag, but we actually got the full Kazanin array for this week. And the two teams brawled as the show went off the air. Fun angle, actually, to cap this show off. But yeah, like, it was the crowd seemed so much more into Danielson and Omega and Cole and the Elite and this and the other, that they weren't hugely hot for this brawl. But I thought it was a really, really great brawl. Fun way to end the show.
Yeah, I know they don't seem to like ending their shows with promo segments and stuff like that, but I think this is one of the times where it would have been warranted, where that promo segment was so awesome. And this came out for the main event. I was like, that's the main event? Really? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And it was a good match and everything, but it didn't feel like a main event. And I guess they just wanted to do it so they could do the Kazanin array thing and then all that. Which is like, it's fine. If it was me, I would have swapped it. I do like that doesn't matter what building they seem to be in, people are doing Kazanin array. That's cool.
Well, they're all wrestling fans. Like, these are hardcore wrestling fans that have been watching New Japan. Like, they know, like, you put these people in a building and they're popping that big for Adam Cole. Guess what? They also know what Kazanin array is. And like, they have sung that song at karaoke bars or what have you, because they have been, those are those sorts of wrestling fans. That's who AEW appeals to.
Yeah. I remember there was a Ring of Honor show, like maybe 5 years ago or so, maybe 4 years ago, and I've gone dark, god damn it, and they didn't do the Kazanin array bit for Minoru Suzuki, and he looked so sickened by this crowd not doing his little thing in the song. Not the case here. I love that these fans are just wrestling fans. I would go to every show if I could.
Oh yeah, like, I've been to plenty of like British indie shows where Suzuki was booked, Rev Pro shows in particular, because of their relationship with New Japan, and being parts of crowds singing Kazanin array, and like, we do it every single time. And yeah, it's the same, you know, when Keith Lee used to wrestle and you do the whole Bask in His Glory stuff. Like, it was I need to go to more wrestling shows is basically what I'm getting to. Scoring this episode, I mean, I'm not gonna be doing it anytime soon, get on the way. If you were to give this show a score, what are you giving it, Tempest?
See, it's weird, because if I scored it based on like the criteria that I use for like NXT, where if NXT has like one segment I consider like a 5 out of 5, I just will probably give the show a 5 out of 5, because it's at least something has reached that height. Giving an AEW show a 5 out of 5, I feel like it's like, oh, this has to be like mind-blowing. I felt like this was a perfectly adequate go-home show for the big episode of TV. So I'd probably say 4 out of 5, but I loved a lot of things on this show.
Yeah, same here. I was a 4 out of 5 kid as well. We put this out to the community poll, and you all said, 54% of you, in fact, said it was a 5 out of 5 show, 35% saying it was 4 out of 5. And then look at that, 8% 3 out of 5, 1% saying 2, 2% saying 1. Like, those bomb, like, you know, those last bottom two there are just, they're troll votes at this point. But yeah, 54%, over half of you saying it was a 5 out of 5 show, which is incredible to see.
Yep. I wouldn't disagree with it. If someone said that to me, I was like, yep, that's fine. I'm with you.
Well, if you want some more bonus content from us, when you head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk, where Ollie and I release WrestleTalk Extra this month, reviewing Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza from 2016, featuring an incredible triangle ladder match between The Addiction, and he called them The Ascension, and The Addiction, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Young Bucks in Ladder War 6. It's also got Cole versus Michael Elgin, Kyle O'Reilly versus Hangman Page. Is he T-Bar? T-Bar is on the card against Bobby Fish in the opening match for the TV title. Lots of like a really, really interesting show. And we've got a lot to dive into on that as well. Because not only like, you know, we talk about Ring of Honor and everything like that, we also go through like the Observer from the time. And it's a lot of talk about a certain Goldberg coming back into WWE and like the startings of those conversations. So really, really interesting times to look back at. And if you back us at the $25 level, you get a little bit extra. You get your name shouted out in shows like this with a wrestling nickname like these fine folks. James, easy to please. That's why nobody cares. Nepper.
Yeah. Yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Very nice. Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Thomas O. Ciampa. Yeah.
Golden Nick Holden.
Smash the glass ceiling, CJ Slatten.
Eric Baron Happy Corbin.
Oh, Lord. The Pagan Maker, William Pagan.
Not Eugene, Andrew Dinsmore.
Yeah. The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
Very nice. The Batsman, Nathan Batty.
Yeah. And the name's Jablonski, Daniel C. Jablonski.
Oh, very nice. That is your Hall of Fame class for the 16th of September, 2021. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Boy, howdy. Do we have a lot of them? Emmanuel Toby says, hey guys, first time Ultra Chatter. I live in Queens. I was on the fence about going to AEW Grand Slam. But as soon as they announced Danielson versus Omega, I bought my ticket. Can't wait. Dude, you are lucky you got one. Like, you left that to the last possible moment.
Yeah, I wish I was going.
Lakshmi says, on a side note, I hope CM Punk starts using the Pepsi plunge again. Maybe not as a regular finisher, but like a move you only pull out at a Mania, kind of like Taker's top rope plancher. I think it's a spot you save. Him hitting that Pepsi plunge for the first time, you need to do that in like a big, big Punk match.
Yeah, I think you save that for like Punk versus Omega whenever they do that. But there's a lot of those like old Ring of Honor type moves that I'm like, are they going to do it? Like if Danielson breaks out the Gary Goodridge elbow strikes while a guy's in his crucifix, I'll like pass out.
Also as well, like with Punk doing the Pepsi plant, it's got so much more like a lot more behind it now these days.
Absolutely.
Travis Griffin says, Luke, to your point about people on Raw not knowing who Adam Cole is, at least doing the boom and baby thing with him. Enzo said he was worried about that as well when they debuted and the crowd knew the whole shtick. That was also like on the first, that was on a Mania show as well. So it was full of the traveling crowd, the hardcore fans.
I don't think you can really use the post-Mania Raw as like an indication of anything. That's an outlier and not the norm.
I would say so, yeah. I mean, the crowd did eventually like all pick up on it because it's very, very good. Like, it's a very good sing-along thing to do. And like, once you've seen it once, you totally get it.
Yeah.
That's why it was great. Joey Robinson said, I felt like last night was a bad look for Malakai Black. Coming out looking like a business wizard to get beaten up by Cody and his reality TV show pal. I genuinely can't wait for this feud to be over and he can move on to something that doesn't have Cody stink on it. I like Cody as a worker, but his presentation and booking annoys me so much, and it seems to extend to all acts associated with the family. always the weakest part of any Dynamite. Great Quizlemania yesterday. Adam's new round was fun to play at home. I sort of get what you mean with Cody. I know a lot of people aren't into Cody Islands. I do like Cody. I mean, I'm not hugely into the rematch because I think Cody's winning, but I don't dislike Cody.
I like Cody. I'll be honest, I like Cody a lot. And that might be an unpopular opinion these days, but I'll own it. And no, the weakest part of any Dynamite QT Marshall. I don't know if he counts as like Nightmare Family extension and all that, but yeah.
I would say so. I think it is a darts player, QT Marshall. Sean Cardia said, I love AEW so much. They give us things we never knew we wanted. Whoever thought we'd see a face-up between Malakai Black and Sakatano? There's a dream match I want to see. The Devil with Amnesia versus one of the greatest Jedi. Book it, Tony. And on that note, Ten Rosa said, Rosario Dawson being a judge with Cody on the Big Show show, I didn't think it would get her on Dynamite. Love Punk on commentary. More of that, please. Dan Lambert, please go away. Put women on in his time. Loving the Elite. Bullet Club, please come on in. Oh, I like Dan Lambert. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I think Lambert's awesome.
Give it time with the Bullet Club. I would be shocked. I don't know when that's going to happen. Like, they've got so much cool stuff coming. And once the you know, travel to Japan is a lot easier. Oh man, like it might be like a year from now, a little more than a year from now, but that's got my motor running.
On the Moxley Suzuki thing, the Guilty Hat said, given the trend on Twitter over the week, can we get the WrestleTalk statement on the Suzuki incident? I'm sure it might get used in the inevitable Dark Side of the Ring episode. AEW getting in on the joke put a smile on my face.
Yeah, mine too.
Everyone remembers where they were with the Suzuki, with the Suzuki incident. Everyone remembers where they were.
The day the music stopped.
Do you mind if I hot tag to you for a moment through some of these Ultra Chats?
Absolutely. The Portuguese Mr. Davis says, hey, lads, always consistent. Great show. Awesome wrestling. However, feel like Brian V. Omega should be later, but I can't understand their perspective. Also, can't wait for Archer and Suzuki versus Box in Kingston. Love y'all. Hope you're feeling better, Ollie. No. Ooh. Ooh, Ollie. Ooh. Stephen Guzman says, Ollie and Luke, I love you. I love you guys, but I'm to just gloat because I am doing... Oh my goodness, I'm struggling. I'm just going to gloat because I'm going to be at AEW Grand Slam, and holy S-word, this is practically a pay-per-view. I'm going to get to see the dream match between Omega and Danielson, CM Punk wrestle, Minoru freaking Suzuki, cannot wait. Also, God, I really want to see Lucha Bros versus Darby and Sting at one point. I don't know why, but I'm dying to see Penta and Sting face off. That's an interesting one.
I didn't know I wanted that until now, but you're right, I do want that.
Yeah, that sounds fun. My Owen opinion says JR was suspiciously quiet when Jericho referenced Escape from New York in his promo and when it was discussed further by CM Punk on commentary, because as we know from WrestleMania 20, JR apparently hates that movie. That's interesting.
What happened at WrestleMania 20 where JR hates on Escape from New York? I don't remember that.
I don't either. I'll have to go back and watch WrestleMania 20 again.
I reviewed that show for Wrestle Talk Extra as well.
How often do you listen to every line in commentary? Look down at your phone one time, oh, you've missed the comment of Escape from New York. Oh, well. Jared Hazelwood says, Andrade and Spears, I think, did a lot for themselves last night. Andrade feels like a Gotham City mob boss, and Spears feels like a great insecure bastard. AEW might always find the right character for people instantly, but your patience pays off. Agreed. A perfect example. I was just going to say that. Like, the characters for guys like Andrade, Miro, and Malakai Black are so distinct, but also like cool. Love that stuff. Absolutely love it. Michaela Traub? Sorry for butchering your name. Hey, friends, I'm a pandemic era fan, so I've only been watching wrestling since like May 2020. This was my first ever live wrestling show, and it was amazing. Oh, yay. Eddie and Archer and Mox and Suzuki brawled right in front of us. Cody came right up beside us too and brawled with Malakai above us. Five out of five live show. I'm a happy girl. I'll be there next week too. Keep an eye out for the Dark Order Elevation match. I love AEW. I love wrestling. Thank you to my bro, Rob, and thank you. I'm so happy to learn about wrestling. What a positive message.
That's great. I love, love, love seeing that sort of thing. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. It's quite the contrast seeing NXT whatever .0 then AEW. What a difference. Miro needs a tank to crush that car. When Hook and Punk finally tag together, they are going to have to be called Hunk. I'm so happy. Jammy, jam, jam. I was 37 on the 5th of September. Hashtag DAD. Hashtag jam that jam.
A happy birthday for September 5th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, happy birthday, Bacon Rasher. Rob P. says, I've been watching wrestling since 1996, and last night was my first TV taping live. I can't begin to describe the joy I felt from start to finish. Thank you, AEW. That promo battle between Dr. Britt Baker and Ruby Soho was epic. Can't wait for the super click.
That must be on Rampage, right?
Perhaps. Perhaps that was a spoiler.
I haven't read Rampage spoilers. There must be a promo segment between the two. That sounds really cool.
Oh, yeah. I love promo battles. They don't do them super often in AEW, but I love them. Paul Egan says, Suzuki incident resolved. A very sweary episode with some very sweary boys. How does every Dynamite feel like the best one? Well, with next week's Stack Grand Slam, that's certainly going to be the case again. AEW right now is just an awesome and fun show.
It was a very sweary show. Very sweary show last night.
I feel like they have to have been given a memo or something to, like, yeah, go for it. Yeah. Use the S word in like every segment. Just have fun. And somehow Chuck Taylor still hasn't said it.
That should always be the joke, though, that Taylor never gets.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Charles Berg says, wow, everybody in AEW curses like a sailor. I feel like calling someone a piece of S word has diminishing returns, especially when basically everyone uses the same insult. Love the Lambert Jericho promo. I'm going to a casino for the first time this weekend. Good for you, Charles Lambert.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get what you're saying about like it has diminishing returns for a while. Like, I think it's the same with like, you know, calling someone a bitch in a wrestling promo after a while. It's like it loses all meaning. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think it's cool for like Don Callis because it's a thing now. But
they were in Jersey as well, and I hear that's a trash place. So you know, you get trash language.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I've never been to Jersey, so I don't know. I've just been told it's a trash place.
Rangers Mayhem says, I was at last night's show, and it was pure fun in my Fakador shirt. From nice. Giving MJF a warm Jersey welcome, David LaGrace from Busted Open Radio behind me, and Archer so cool. And Kingston Brawler in the seat next to me. Elevation and Rampage are shows to be watched. Well, that's very promising.
So cool. I want to say as well, I think New Jersey's great. I'm just gonna for the sake of Billy Balance, Jersey's also awesome. I love Kevin Smith.
You baby face, you Travis
the
Griffin.
New York Jersey Devils.
Close enough. Travis Griffin says, since AEW said they would sow several. Well, I don't know.
I think it was going to be do several
special shows a year. Could we see them do 3-hour Dynamite specials? God, no.
Well, see, this is the thing. We said this on the show last night, didn't we? That like, I don't want to see a 3-hour Dynamite, right? Like, I don't want to see it because it's something you think you want and you don't want. But, you know, 4 times a year, 3 times a year, maybe, like as a special thing, I think as a one-off thing, it's not a terrible idea. But a 3-hour weekly show, I think, is where I don't want that at all.
I don't want it to get to the point where WWE was doing like one every other month, like a decade ago before the 3-hour Raws were a weekly thing. I just don't, it's a slippery slope that I want to avoid for as long as possible. You could add an extra hour to next week's show and I wouldn't complain, but not every show is next week's show, I guess.
Yeah.
Will Campbell says, hey guys, super excited for next week's show after last night. I'll be there at Arthur Ashe with my younger sister for her birthday. Well, tell your sister happy birthday.
Everyone is going to this show. Also, happy birthday to your sister. But everyone's going to this show.
has truly made me fall back in love with pro wrestling. I found myself many times during last night's show saying out loud, I effing love pro wrestling.
I totally agree, Noah Fortner. Like, I hear that. Like, I get it a lot with, I'm like, man, I just like watching Dynamite. I really enjoy watching this show.
Like, Quizzlemania ended and I ate my dinner and I was like, oh yeah, Dynamite's on tonight. A show I like. Oh man. Lasso says, morning guys, I was at the show last night and it was my first live event. I'm also going to be at Grand Slam show next week and I'm getting very excited with all the announcements that I lost my voice. Quick question, NWO versus Bullet Club, who is better? Oh my. I mean, better as in more talented and everything, it's got to be Bullet Club. I mean, the NWO is arguably the most important faction in wrestling history.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go NWO in that sense. But you're right, like in-ring work, matches I'd like to rewatch. Yeah, I'm going Bullet Club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could consider the Elite to be Bullet Club, and they spawned a whole new company, so maybe they're going to have more impact when all is said and done. You never know. 69 Intangible Sadie Deegan says, what's up, Thursday Cowboy? Tempest, what are you doing in the AEW zone? Love Dynamite last night. MJF is the freaking GOAT. If Black doesn't win next week, I shall walk into the ocean. Mr. Rhodes, please don't ruin my emo son. Love you both. LIW for life.
Oh, I'm going to miss Sadie Deegan as she walks into the ocean.
Yeah, don't do that. We like having you around, Sadie. 10 Ruzza says, the game of will Luke have to leave midstream continues, but my God, this is insane. Grand Slam is going to be insane. Again, the FOMO is so big. I hope Hangman comes in, and who knows who else will show up. Hope Brian and Kenny will be NJPW style, hashtag love AEW. I'm so excited to see what Brian does.
The whole Luke has to leave midstream game is going to be real exciting tomorrow when I've got Ricky Starks on.
Yeah.
And leaving Denise on her own. Oh, that might be the most exciting one. That might be the most exciting stream.
DaHTrain24 says, the AEW pay-per-view was my biggest wrestling markout moment of the year. My second biggest, the lovely boys being a tag team last night. My two favorite people are really entertaining on one team. Yes, please. And Luke Owen, I am happy beyond words. D-A-D. Doing your
catchphrase. Thank you so much. Thank you,
DaHTrain. Nathan Vela says, oftentimes in WWE, we get upset when the champion is pinned clean despite during championship contenders matches. Not saying this is a championship contenders match, but would Danielson pinning Omega clean with no interference be detrimental to Omega?
Depending on how they book the match. You can look incredible in defeat. Look at, Omega's first match with Okada. Established Omega as like a top guy. I don't think him losing next week will hurt, particularly because it's Danielson. But I also think that they will make sure that the match is put on. If like Danielson goes in there and squashes him, that's a different story. But I don't think that's what we're going to get.
I'll
hot tag back in. I'll take us home. Alpaca Nation 87 said, still can't believe we're getting this match in a week. The logical ending is the time limit. Feel like it would sour some, but for free TV, I'm perfectly fine with it. Powerhouse Hobbs beatdown of Punk gave me PTSD flashbacks to Ryback. I was so nervous. Eternal Blue says, howdy do, DAD and Strawberry Squidward. Lovely show as always, especially this part month-ish. What whiplash from NXT 3.0 and Raw. It's incredible that the two major companies are like oil and water, or more oil, but renamed to Slippy McSmooth. Patrick Kaniski, maybe I missed the memo, but where has Trent been when the best friend? I think he's injured.
Yeah, he had neck fusion surgery, so he'll probably be out until like next spring.
Yeah. Bo Hill, there was a promo package for the Bunny Anna Jay match on Rampage detailing their feud. Not to say that this one wasn't promoted well. 2, Hook did a wrestling thing. He did. But to my point earlier, Bo, no one knew when that match was or who the match was actually about. They did have a promo segment, which we covered. But like, it's not like this didn't get like, you know, Dan Lambert and Chris Jericho cutting promos and show. This got like the smallest of the build, all the matches that are happening on the two nights.
Yeah, pretty much. It's also the least important match on the two nights, mm-hmm. but you could also make it not that.
RD Magico, hey guys, first time Ultra Chatter, love WrestleTalk. My bold prediction, AEW will beat Raw's numbers in a year's time. Jam that jam. Kevin, who was clearly watching QuizzleMania last night, has just written "Get over here" multiple times over. That was your one, wasn't it? Get over here.
No, that wasn't me. I forget who that was.
Who did you? What phrase did you have?
I did Tommaso Ciampa's song, which was "Hey, listen."
Hey, oh, you got "Hey, listen."
Yeah, which is, I've got a Navi tattoo, so that's appropriate.
Why would you get a Navi tattoo? Like, Navi sucks.
I don't know. Why not? It was a flash piece. I forget what the other one was. Yeah.
Apparently it was Larson had "Get Over Here" because I had "Press F for Respects," which is real hard. Yeah. Van Twinblade, can't wait for John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt versus Jingleheimer Schmidt. Adam Simpson, not here at the moment, watching film number 100 since May at Cineworld. That is insane, Adam, and congratulations to you. Also, our Cineworld show will be out tomorrow. It's me and Laurie this week because Ollie's not well. That Cole Kaz match was amazing. Just makes me want to watch Brian versus Kaz now. 2-hour Rampage will be fun. Can we take a moment for Fuego, as I don't think he'll have any fun on Friday. Keith Lloyd, the title of this video should have been "Everyone Hates New Jersey." I thought this was a 5 out of 5 show for me. Just a burial on that taint of a city alone. Also, Tempest, who has the best fall away slam?
I really do like that move. Oh man, put me on the spot. I don't know who's got the best one, but like Hangman Page does a good one. I think Jeff Cobb does a really good one. If you count Bandido's like moonsault fall away slam, then that one.
JBL, Bradshaw would fling dudes across the ring with that move.
That's a good one too.
Zornice said, we had 10 versus, we had a comment from him, but I think we've read that one out earlier. The Zornice, do you remember who is the first woman we see in the AEW trailer? And the trailer is up to date. CM Punk is in it. If you can't remember or imagine, it's Brandy. Do you think that's fair? Hope is going well. LIW for life. Good luck with the baby. Is it really Brandy in the opening trail?
You could have said any name and I would have been like, yeah, sure.
I agree, Zornice. I don't think that is fair. Lakshmi says, I hope that someone as awesome as Britt Baker stays in AEW till retirement. I can already see what would happen if she jumps ship. Britt Baker, DDS, the long-lost daughter of Isaac Yankum. No, they're not doing second-generation things at the moment, so I don't know if they would do that in the end. Andrew the Last Airbender, last night was an incredible show. My first ever show was definitely one to remember. I got to see Punk, Brian, Cole, Soho, Jericho, and frickin' Suzuki. It was a wild night. Got to see myself on TV because Cody stole my drink and hit Black with it. Hey, that was you! Oh, that was such a cool moment! Oh, that's so awesome, Andrew. That was rad. And lastly for now, Stephen P says, popping my Omega chat cherry today. Is it just me? Or does it sound like Luke Owen does the vocals for Paul White's theme? I heard his singing voice the other day, and now whenever I hear it, all I hear is, a lot of my singing that I do is based on my beat. When is the big show? At the big bad show tonight? Oh. So yeah, it's that, and it's essentially the voice I've done for Eddie Vedder over the years. Whenever someone says like, what's your favorite Pearl Jam song? The one that goes, it's my favorite Pearl Jam track.
I started loving Pearl Jam like ironically because of Eddie Vedder's voice, and then just ended up loving the band anyway.
Oh, they're so good though, right? Like Pearl Jam Rule 10 is like an all-time great album. But I saw Pearl Jam live, and like there were times where I'm like, I don't think Eddie Vedder's saying a single word here. I think he's just singing all vowels. And we've just had a last minute one come in from Dorks of Wrestling. Totally under the weather right now. Here's $5 for making me laugh today. Super cool to see Tempest. Jam that jam. LIW for life. How was your barbecue last week?
Ooh, my barbecue was lovely. It was a smaller gathering than this friend group is used to, but I mean, you know, it's the time we live in. It's fine. That was like the best that I'd eaten in so long, you know? Oh, just, my friend loves to cook. That's just his thing. He loves to get on his grill and just cook as many different kinds of ribs and chicken and steak and whatever your heart desires may be, all with different rubs. And oh, he got like a $2,400 grill that has an app that you could then like adjust all of the temperatures at any point. Like we went to a driving range and he was like, turn the heat down on that. And then 15 minutes later, I'm going to turn the heat up on that. I was like, this is the future. This grill is going to like take over the world. It's too smart for us. What a meal though. Just excellent food. I love good food.
Yeah. Yeah. Love to hear that. Have you got another barbecue this weekend? What do you got on?
That is an excellent question. I think, unless I'm mistaken, shocker, it's me. I think I'm having like a wrestling night with a friend I haven't seen in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Because she has been pretty through and through WWE fan and just hasn't really branched out as much. We're going to see if we can change that.
So you're watching All Out, right?
That's the plan. Yeah. Planning to show her All Out, which it's the best pay-per-view I've ever seen. The more I think about it, I'm like, it's the best show that I've ever seen.
I will be so interested to hear your thoughts on a second watch through, because I watched it for a second time this week, in fact, actually on Monday while I was editing. I had All Out and in the background. I enjoyed it so much more on the second watch through, and like I loved it first time around. The second watch, I was like, this is an incredible show. And matches that I thought previously were like, yeah, no, that was pretty good, now I'm like, dude, that match ruled. Like Punk Allen, I said at the time, I said to Adam when he came into the office, he said, how was the Punk Allen match? Well, actually, no, Adam, he had his thoughts on it. I wonder what I thought of, because he'd watched it live. And I said, it was exactly what it needed to be. It was showing us what new Punk is. Also, first match back in 7 years. He looked great. He made Darby look great. It was exactly what it needs to be. Watching the match back, I'm like, that match was so much better than I gave it credit for. It's a really, really great match.
CM Punk does the little Bret Hart head turn. I was like, yeah, best match. Love it. Awesome. You know, Darby does like a snapmare or something, and Punk just gives him a, this is going to be tougher than I thought. And subtle storytelling. I love it. I'm very interested because I haven't watched the pay-per-view back since I was there, and I didn't get to see any like the camera work or the commentary or any of the other bits.
Right.
So I'm very really excited to do that at some point.
I only had one negative note about the commentary all night, and that was Salty JR saying that there needs to be some tags in the tag team match inside the cage. And he was like, what is this, some kind of tornado tag? I was like, yes, Jim, it's in a cage match. What do you want them to hold the tag rope? And what are you going to do, DQ them? Can't you?
Yeah. That and folks need to be quiet during Kaze Nino Rey. Just be quiet. It's the coolest chant-along thing. I was going to bring this up during the show, but forgot. Never really played into any of our discussion. I think sing-along wrestling themes are the new sing-along catchphrases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Like, oh, me and Denise have had this before, because people have like messaged us saying, like, you know, if you could give someone a theme song, like, you know, a wrestling entrance theme, what would you give them? And like Denise has often said in the past, like, oh, I'd give you like a Spice Girls song or something like that. And I was like, dude, if I had a Spice Girls song on a British indie wrestling show, I'd be the most over person there. Because that, if I came out to Wannabe and I did a full sing-along thing, like, I would be so over. If I got my own choice, I would pick Two Unlimited's No Limit and get the whole crowd doing that. No, 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 no. Because that would be, I would get it so massively over. And through no work of my own, through the hard work of other people.
But yeah, there's like, the only real sing-along catchphrase that I can think of is like Adam Cole, Bebe. That he does on every show. As far as something you do on every show, I think that's about it. Like Kenny Omega's got, you know, Goodbye and Goodnight Bang. And there are other ones that come in from time to time. But man, wrestling shows where you get to sing along with the entrance themes are so much fun. Wild Thing, I Cult of Personality has caught on. They're just singing that song now.
Judas. Awesome.
Judas, like, yeah, of course.
Like, Dan, we didn't talk about this in the show, actually, but, like, Lambert cut off Judas and said, like, I don't want to hear you people sing this. And the crowd sang it, and it ruled. Like, the smile on Jericho's face, and he was like, yes, it worked. Like, yeah.
We got him. Honestly, I thought that was one of the more impressive Judas renditions that we've had. Like, we had the one where there was just no music, and there was, okay, everyone, and start. And then we had the one at All Out that I thought was a bit of a dud, where it was just the guy doing the, you know, the guitar solo the whole time. This was really cool. Like, they all just picked it up and went for the rest of the song. I was like, this song is so over.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Cool. I mean, do you know what? I think we need to get out of here because, I mean, I've still got some other stuff that I need to record. We talked about Clerks earlier. I wasn't supposed to be here today. I ended up being here today because Ollie Davis wasn't particularly well.
Neither was I, so.
Very true. Tempest drafted in at the last minute. Although, if you have enjoyed Tempest doing this show, you're going to hear a whole lot more of him because he's going to be replacing me on the AEW shows while I'm off on paternity leave. Laurie will be doing the Raw review, and Adam will be filling in for me on the magazine show. So thank you all so much for filling in for me as well. I really appreciate it while I'm taking a little bit of time off with my new one whenever the little bugger arrives. We think it's going to be soon. But anyway, we need to get out of here. I've got some other stuff that I need to record. Tempest, a pleasure as always, never a chore. What's your jam at the moment? What's your album recommendation you've got?
Oh, man. Of course, Certified Lover Boy. Drake's new album. Gotta be. Drake drops an album. It's a Canadian holiday.
Fair enough. Cool. Well, you know what? Go listen to that, I guess. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.